that? Ed, do you remember that? You don't remember that, do you, Ed? So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. I had planned to preach the whole message on March 15th, and I got to verse 1. And so today I want to finish the message I started, A Very Present Help. Let's go ahead and read the verses in Psalm 46. And I want you to pay special attention to some words as we read this. Refuge and help. It's all through here. And it's broken up by the word Selah, which simply means think about it. Those are the divisions of this psalm. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. A very present help. Spurgeon said, he called this psalm the Song of Holy Confidence. It was this psalm that Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, that's what led him to write that psalm, that song, as he reflected on this passage of Scripture. Now, I'm not going to go over verse 1 again, but I do want to make the point that the entirety of this psalm encourages us to have confidence, to have trust in a God who never changes, who is never frustrated, who is never defeated, no matter what the circumstances that we may find ourselves in this world. God is still our rock. He's our refuge. He's our strength. We can depend upon Him. We can count on God to help us, to secure us, to protect us, to empower us, to encourage us. Psalm 46 enables us to see that God is able to help His people when there is upheaval, when there is unrest in nature and among the nations. No matter what the circumstances that we're facing, our God is fully capable of handling it. So trust Him. As long as our sovereign God is on His throne, we don't have anything to fear. He does all things well. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And we can rest assured that our great God will never leave us or forsake us. We're more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse 1, it's proven hear that God is the source of our help. God, the Almighty, the Creator. He is our refuge, specifically our refuge in Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Today, there is real safety for the worst of sinners in Jesus Christ. In His death, His burial, His resurrection, His blood shedding can take away the foulest of sins. He can cleanse. He can strengthen. He can give you eternal life. Today, if you don't know Him, like the first Baptist preacher, I point you to Him alone. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the only one qualified to be the Savior of sinners. He alone is our refuge, our place of safety and strength and eternal life. God is our refuge. God is our strength. How thankful I am when I was without strength. When I was a wicked, depraved, blackened, ungodly sinner in the miry pit. God, by His power, lifted me up. He brought me up out of the miry pit. He set me upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ and put a new song in my mouth and in my heart, even praise unto our God. He gave me spiritual strength that I never had before. And He's still working in me, even today, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Anything you do that's good for God, anything that you do that's holy or righteous, is all because of God's strength and His power. And we need to rest in Him alone. And He says in verse 1, He is a very present help in trouble. Oh, that we would remember that when the circumstances of life come upon us. God is our help. God is the one that will strengthen, protect, and provide for us. No matter what you may be facing, sickness, sorrow, even death, you can trust God. You know, things are starting to open up. There are going to be more people that get this virus. There are going to be people that die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be assured of this. Your date of death has been divinely appointed by God, and nothing can change it. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's what the Bible says. So I would urge you today, instead of fearing death, prepare for it. Trust Jesus Christ. Today, if you are asking inside of your heart right now and pondering this question, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It's that plain. It's that direct. It's the only way that you can prepare for death is to trust Jesus Christ. Now I want to get to verses 2 and 3. And I want to show the stability and the substance of our help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2 starts off, therefore. Now that's important because it connects us to verse 1. Therefore, our trust in God as our refuge, our strength, our help in time of trouble is what enables us to not fear. Look what it says. Therefore, will not we fear? though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Our trust in God to provide, to protect, and to guide us will result in the banishment of fear. And fear can cripple you. Fear can hinder you. It can hurt your walk of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust in the living God. Now the picture painted in verses 2 and 3 is that of the very worst circumstances imaginable. He talks about the earth being removed, the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, waters overwhelming, roaring and being troubled, and the mountains shaking. He's talking about some real calamities that are totally out of our control. Things that there is no possible way that we could prevent any of this. No matter how much social distancing. You could not prevent what he's saying here in verses 2 and 3. But he says, we're still not going to fear. Because God is a very present help in the worst of circumstances. God is a shelter in the time of storm. God is the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We can face the fears that are crippling this world at large right now. We can face them with Christ. We can face them by trusting in our great God. You see, in spite of what is or what might be, He's our rock. He's our refuge. And He's still God. Say, but preacher, what if you get the virus next week and you die? Well, mark this down. I'm going to go to glory. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have no fear of death. I belong to the King. He redeemed me with His blood. Now, you know, I'm not looking to go swim in a pool of virus germs. But I'm not going to live my life in fear. Because I belong to the King. The Lord is a very present help. I don't know if you've ever felt like these things. And verses 2 and 3 reveal the causes for fear. Why do we fear certain things? We fear what might come. Here he says the mountains, the waters, the pestilence. Everything being uncertain. People fear the unknown. But we also fear what we know will come. Affliction is going to come into your life. We're appointed trials in this life. Death is going to come. The only way you can ever conquer the fear of death is by trusting Jesus Christ and feeding on His Word and believing that He is able. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. So when it feels like everything is moving and shifting, remember, God is our rock. He provides stability. He provides strength. When everything seems to be off, unusual, and uncertain. Have you ever felt overwhelmed with the cares and the troubles of life and you feel like you're just about to sink in those troubled waters? Trust in God. Believe His Word. Claim His promises. You say, but come on, preacher, that's just happy talk. No, this biblical talk. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. That's the promise of the Word of God. God will be with you. And He closes verse 3 by saying, Selah. Think about that. Think deeply upon the greatness of our God and His ability to sustain and strengthen. He's able. In the midst of all the turmoil, all the uncertainties of life, I hope that you've taken some time to spend in the secret place of the Most High, to be alone with God, to think deeply upon His glory, His attributes of sovereignty and power, and His ability to govern everything according to His own will. It's so important that we think. Now, verse 4, we find a special place of help. He says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. For David, who penned this psalm, and other Israelites, this special place of help was in Jerusalem, specifically in the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Jerusalem was regarded as the city of God, the place where the Shekinah glory dwelt in a corporate way, where the worship of God was taking place. And David says, no matter how uncertain, how much unrest there may be, and you got to remember, Israel has always had people that opposed her. From the very inception of the nation of Israel, from their very beginning to this very day, people around the world have hated the Jews. And David says, God's our refuge. There's something special about our worship. It's the place where what goes on in the tabernacle of the Most High that tells us that tabernacle, everything about it, its furniture, the way it was built, the sacrifices that were offered, all of it pointed to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about it was a prophecy of the Lamb of God coming to take away the sin of the world. And he says, God is in the midst of her. The streams that fed that river were clean and free-flowing, fresh and useful. And physically, literally, that was so important, especially when a city was attacked. He recognized that God was in that special place. His help is there for sure and near. Now, I believe by way of application, we can likewise recognize the Lord's church as a place of special help and strength and refreshment and stability. You know, I'm thankful for the technology that allowed us to meet virtually, but it's not the same. There's something so blessed, so special about obeying Hebrews 10:25. Assembling with the saints of God, with like-minded believers, hearts knit together in love, with joy, worshiping our Lord in spirit and in truth. It's special when the Lord's people meet and God is in our midst. The Lord, we are recognized as one of the Lord's golden candlesticks. And Jesus today, the head of this church, He is in our midst. So by way of application, I believe that the Lord's church is a place of special refreshment. Jesus dwells in a corporate, special way in the midst of His churches, according to what He wrote, what He said to the churches in the book of Revelation. The Bible says, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." A special place where the saints of God are formed into a body with Jesus Christ as the head. And notice, it says, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Even though the Lord's church has been persecuted from the very beginning. Read the book of Acts. That first church was persecuted. They were hated. They were despised. They went everywhere preaching the word. But Jesus had made a promise. He said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church, the church that He built. He's the rock. And He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When He gave the Great Commission to His church, He said that He would be with them. I'm sorry, Facebook. I got to say this. I got really troubled as I watched my video last week, the way that I was karate chopping everything. And I thought, man, they probably think I'm Beto O'Rourke or something. The hands all over the place. So I'm gonna try to work on that. But Jesus said that He would be with His church unto the end. Now you think of all the persecutions, the trail of blood that has followed the Lord's churches. They've been persecuted, hounded, hated, imprisoned, tortured, burned at the stake. But God is still in her midst. Jesus promised perpetuity. And you know what? He said in John 15 and verse 16 to that first church, He said, "Ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and that your fruit should remain." That ye shall bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Hey, it remains today. In this little flock, we are earnestly contending for the faith once delivered. I find it interesting that the first church, its main activity originally was in Jerusalem. And it says here that God, that there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. You know what? That first church, those streams that started with just a trickle there in Jerusalem have refreshed the entire world through gospel preaching. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that message that flowed from that first church is still going strong all around the world. What a privilege it is to be part of it. God is in her midst. God is the help of our church. There are times in my life where I wonder, oh, I pray that the Lord will give us more kids. But you know what? The Lord adds to the church as it pleases Him. I'm thankful for everybody the Lord brings our way. And for those that He determines. Because I believe God's in control of who He puts in His body. But this is His church. It's not mine. It belongs to the Lord. It's a blood-bought institution. And He'll deal with it as He sees fit. May God help us to be faithful. To do everything we can to reach people with the gospel. To tell others of the greatness, the glory, the power of God. Now notice something. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. The heathen may rage, and times may become perilous. Verse 6, the heathens raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord God Almighty has promised to be with His church unto the end of the world, unto the end of the age and beyond. We're founded upon the rock who said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Do you notice what He's doing throughout this entire psalm? He continually reflects upon His refuge, His place of safety from the storms of life, from the calamities, the troubles, the afflictions that He often faced. And believe me, I doubt if any of us can even begin to hold a candle to the trials and afflictions that David went through. And through it all, he said, God, the God of Jacob, is my refuge. He wants us to know the place that he fled for safety was in the strong arms of the Lord. This is so important for us to learn. I really believe that the governments of men want people to trust completely in them rather than God. I'm trusting God. My trust is in the Lord. It's not in men. It's not in government. It's not in religion. It's in God. He is the one that's going to provide everything that we need. And we can trust Him and believe on Him. You think about the heathen of the world that have raged against the nation of Israel. And yet God has still preserved her as a nation. Miraculously. Think about the hatred, the hostility that there is right now, even in the world against the Lord's churches. I believe a lot of government officials would love to see people of faith shut down so that they can be rightly controlled. That's the beauty of the founding of our nation. They came here, and people forget this, because they were being oppressed from the tyranny and persecution of their religious beliefs. That's one of the reasons why they came to the New World. That and freedom. I want to live free. Free to worship. Free to work. Free to live for the Lord. Now that may bring me some trouble, and it may bring you some trouble. It may bring our church some trouble. But I wonder, are we going to stand? Are we going to hold on to the rock and to His promises? God is in our midst. We're on the Lord's side. And there is no greater ally than God Almighty. Last point. There is a prophecy in this psalm, verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The promises made by God to his people have stood the test of time. His presence and power have sustained his people, and he is ever near to help and provide, as proven by the nation of Israel, by his protection of God's elect to the perpetuity of his kind of church. He's been with his people. He'll continue to be with his people. And we can also expect that God will fulfill every purpose and promise that he has for this earth. Think about this. There is coming a day when there's going to be peace on earth. When wars are going to be no more. When swords are going to be beaten into plowshares. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth with his saints to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. And we're going to be with him. We're coming back with him. It says that he'll make desolate the work, the desolations. He's going to judge. He's going to put down all false religion. He is going to make all violence and warfare cease. And he's going to reign in, it says here that he will be exalted in the earth. Now, I know this is a prophecy because none of this has been completely fulfilled. There have always been wars since the Garden of Eden and the first murder when Cain committed an act of warfare against his own flesh and blood, his own kin. There's been warfare ever since. But can you imagine a day when the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea? When there will be righteousness and spirituality and the worship of the King around all the earth. Everyone will bow to the dictates and the glory of King Jesus. He will be exalted in the earth. It's a sure prophecy. And I love the way that he ends. He tells us to be still. All of this hadn't come to pass yet. But be still. And know that I am God. Know that every one of my promises are true. That every prophecy I have ever uttered and promised to fulfill, because I'm the Lord, because I'm your refuge, I will be exalted in the earth. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you troubled today? Be still and know that he is God. Jonathan Edwards said on this phrase, be still. a duty described to be still before God and under the dispensations of His providence, which implies we must be still as to words, not speaking against the sovereign dispensations of providence or complaining of them, not darkening counsel by words without knowledge, or justifying ourselves and speaking great swelling words of vanity. We must be still as to actions and outward behavior, so as not to oppose God in His dispensations. And as to the inward frame of our hearts, cultivating a calm and quiet submission of soul to the sovereign pleasure of God, whatever it may be. Remember, our God is in control. His word is sure. Be still and know that He is God. He is a very present help in time of trouble. The greatest trouble you'll face is yourself and your sin and the judgment for it. And so I urge you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, He's the only place of safety. He's the only refuge where you can have eternal life. I hope you know Him today. So good to be back in the house of God. So good to see you all. I love you. I appreciate you. Next week, we're going to go back to Sunday school, and I'll be doing an exposition of Proverbs, and I look forward to seeing you. Let's all stand as we have a hymn.
Page number 6.